A reading from the Good News according to John. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the fifth Sunday of Lent. Next Sunday, we begin Holy Week, the most sacred, solemn time of the church year. Jesus' hour is fast approaching. His passion and death are drawing near. The drama quickens. So little time, so much to announce to his disciples and to us. We can almost feel the tension mounting, the struggle of Jesus to say yet again what his Father has said to him, the mystery of faith, the paradox of salvation. There is no life without death. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This is the paradox of the Christian life. We die in order to live. We let go in order to hold on. Darkness is driven out by light. In so many ways, we are invited to new life, but only through death. This is the way of Jesus. This is the way of his followers. The German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew this reality deeply. He lived the Paschal paradox until death in a prison. One of the last books he wrote before his arrest was entitled The Cost of Discipleship. In this extraordinary testimonial, he describes what he calls cheap grace, and I quote, "Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate." Unquote. As we say in popular parlance, no pain, no gain. And then Bonhoeffer contrasts cheap grace and costly grace. And again, I quote, "Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again. the gift which must be asked for, the door at which one must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs us our life. And it is grace because it gives us the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. Unquote. Jesus invites us in this gospel. He invites us who wish to serve him to follow his path. More than anything, this means dying to ourselves. So we ask ourselves at this end of Lent, what kind of dying is asked of me? Where have I discovered the fruits of that dying? Am I willing to seek costly grace, the paradox that will turn my life upside down? And finally, can I trust that Jesus, who has been there before me, will always be there for me as I take the risk?